Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, we need you closer to the phone.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, we're going to be having, you got a podcast going
right now. Yes, we got Caleb Pratt of Real Talk Midwest Muscle in the house.
We're doing our thing. We got everybody here. I got the doctor and the Hall of Famer. So, you know, that you got a great show no matter what you do, and you can't screw it up.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah, Doctor. I mean, just because I know you're getting good information, that excites me. Just because I know I got a passionate gym owner, that excites me. And I got people playing in place because they're enjoying the excitement of
the business. They're excited, too.
So, Doctor, I'll let you introduce yourself, and you'll let us know what's going on with the listeners and why you're down here and what we're trying to do, and then we'll get some questions with Mike right after that.
All right. Yeah, thanks for having me. So, you know, I'm Dr. Peter Fitchin. I have a PhD in nutritional science.
Yes, he does.
I also have a master's in physiology, bachelor's in biochem,
and
I'm a certified strength and conditioning specialist.
Stay away from it.
No, 11 and a half years. I finished in 2015. All right. Yeah, I did my decade plus, but
he's faded.
Yeah. So since then, you know, now I run Fit Body and Physique. You know, have been for 5-6 years now. But since I graduated, that was it's been my full-time job. We're primarily as clients getting ready for contests, you know, out some power lifters, a few people are general population looking to lose some weight. And then you asked why I'm down here today. So we're down here for the P4P show on August.
Ho Chunk?
Yeah, Ho Chunk. August 11th.
Ho Chunk.
So Fit Body Physique is one of the sponsors of P4P contest. So we're down here for that today.
Now, one of the things that I have to ask, because, you know, we've dealt with so much misinformation, and, you know, I'm glad we got two people here that can definitely clear it up. There's a lot of people when they're talking about diets and, you know, contributing and sporting, there's a lot of things that don't need to happen in a prep, and I'm sure that can distract from somebody actually competing. There's lots of people that want to basically help out that are giving out bad information. There's a lot of things that can basically derail a good contest. So I'll start with you, and then I'll pass the mic. What are some of the things that you have to fight against when the people start seeing the changes in the person you're prepping?
Things I have to start fighting against, probably the fact that, you know, so a new competitor thinks that this is going to happen really fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, you can probably relate to this, Mike, with some of the new lifters that come in here, new people are new to the gym too.
Yeah.
They think results are going to happen quick. You know, you see all the new competitors. And results, you know, change takes time. You know, especially if you're a drug-free athlete, you're competing drug-free.
Especially if you're
It's going to take time to see visual change. You know, and I have a lot of times clients who want to send me progress pictures every couple of days, and I'm like, you're not going to see progress every couple of days. You know, and during the early stages of prep, a lot of times I'll be like, every 2 weeks, maybe, you know, even longer between pictures, because even then, you know, you lose, you know, in a couple of weeks you might lose 3-4 pounds, but like, you don't see a whole lot of change. It takes time.
Yeah.
Like you got to let those.
He knows.
Yeah,
Mike knows. Yeah. He's got to deal with that hitting.
Change takes time. And so I think that's one thing you got to battle a lot of times is just realization that this is going to take longer than you may think because, you know, dieting to stay lean is extreme, you know, and you're going to, you know, leaner body fat than most people on this planet have ever gotten to.
Right.
It's going to take some time to get there.
Yeah, that's what it takes to win a show. I mean, if you want to win a show, you got to be your absolute leanest possible because if you don't hit your numbers every single day, 7 days a week, somebody else out there is, and you're going to meet that person on stage. And if you didn't stick to your numbers, it might be just enough of an edge that your opponent needed to beat you off the top spot. So you just simply got to hit those numbers every single day, 7 days a week, and be willing to stick to it long enough to get your body fat levels low enough. Last time I worked with Cliff, that's when I did the Illinois. And he would have liked to have seen me stay on my diet for 2 to 3 weeks longer when I was going out to California for the National Olympia to compensate that. I just didn't want to die in that weekend out in Vegas. Actually, I was out in California that year. So I did a show 2 weeks earlier than he wanted me to. So he made the adjustments, did what I had to do. But I ended up paying for it because I didn't get first place that day. But you simply got to stick to it as long as you possibly can, you know, to get it done. So let's talk about the benefits of a long-term prep. Some people just aren't patient enough just for that long-term prep. I mean, so what do you talk, I'm sure you have issues with clients who don't want to deal with that. How do you handle it?
You know, so I you know, I guess how do I handle it? You know, I try to explain to them the benefits of a longer prep. And, you know, as I'm getting more experienced as a coach, people see my other clients, the conditioning they get to.
So they can hear better.
Yeah, and so they can relate. But, you know, as far as benefits of a longer prep, I think the biggest one is muscle retention.
Yeah.
Because you can dial it lower. You know, if you look at the data, I mean, you want to be dieting at probably like about 0.5% to 1% of body weight weekly. You know, so if you are a 180-pound guy, you know, that you're looking at maybe pound and a half a week, you know, you know, to retain muscle, you know, to keep your prep moving, but retain muscle.
Healthy.
Yeah. And, but if you think about it, if you explain it to someone this way too, that, okay, so think about what we have to do, you know, how much, where your food's going to be, how much cardio you're going to have to do to lose like a pound a week, you know, think about what that would take. Then think about what you wanted to do, you know, where you'd have to lose like 4 pounds a week. You know, think about how much, what you would have to do to get there.
What are you
and
doing?
And now think about, you know, what your workouts are going to be like. So, you know, with my approach where you're losing like a pound a week, you know, how are you going to feel in the gym? How's your strength going to be? With your approach where you want to lose 4 pounds a week, how your strength, you know, you start losing strength as a natural, you know, natural athlete, like, you know, we all...
We cry.
You get trying to lose lean, your strength can go down.
Yeah.
Male. I mean, testosterone goes down about 70% during prep. But, you know, there's a difference between, all right, at the end, you know, your strength drops some versus I'm just crash dieting and I feel like garbage and my performance in the gym tanks to begin with.
Yeah. Do you have any competitors you're looking for? I know you got a lot of competitors coming to the PPC, so on August 11th. Who are some competitors we should be on the lookout for this year for this competition season?
Yeah, I do have quite a few competitors. I don't know if anyone wants any of them, the ones who are competing as a pro. So, yeah, I got plenty of competitors.
There's some top amateurs you got to look out for.
So, yeah, so my buddy Joe Mikeson, he competed here in Bradley. He competed at OCB Midwest States a few times.
Wait, Joe who?
Mikeson. He won
not the rock star.
No, not the rock. Not Myers. Not him.
Joe Myers.
He won the overall at the spring OCB show in DeKalb a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So he's been in overalls for pro cars.
Wow.
He's lost in like split decisions. Two overall winners. He's I mean, if anyone that I've ever worked with is due and come close but not gotten it, it's him. I mean, he won
like
an overall.
Brian Whitaker, your senior.
Okay.
So yeah, he's I've worked with him for a while. I have some other clients who making a pro debut. You know, that I've worked with in the past. So what's really cool too is seeing some of the clients who, you know, maybe won their pro card work with me 2013, 14, 15, something like that. Now doing their first pro show. So one of my clients, Jess Orban, competed last year. And She won pro figure in Lexington. She won figure in Peoria.
Yes, she did.
You know, and so she, you know, it was cool because I mean, she'd worked with me, you know, a year and a half, 2 years before when she had her pro card. At her first show, so it's just really cool to see, you know, people coming back, you know what I mean, clients coming back, you know, and then doing well as pros, you know.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that, you know, because you're talking about Jess Orban, and you're talking, you know, we have Missy Rutherford, where they have the physique that matches the stage presence, because they're not the same, and a lot of people think, well, if I got one, it's going to compensate for the other. You'd have to do really well on a pro stage to make that statement true.
Yeah.
Now, when you're dealing with the person that says, my ego offsets the workout that you're planning, how do you go about walking them through where they can understand what first place really is?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just realizing, you know, just trying to help them realize that, you know, everyone's going to be working incredibly hard.
Yes.
You know, and especially the higher up you get, you know, you know, when you go step up from novice to open class or step up from open to pro, you know, the level of effort people are putting in is only going up.
Yeah, you know.
And so, you know, when you step on stage, you want to make sure you did everything possible, kind of like you were saying, like, you want to make sure you did everything possible. You don't want to be sitting up there thinking, well, what if I did this? Or what if I didn't do this?
Uh-huh.
You know,
tell you something. When we started these podcasts and videos years ago, we've been in a lot of pros, a lot of top amateurs. What I've come to find out is, the pros who are winning these shows are the ones who hit the numbers all year round. They don't take breaks. They don't really have an off season, but not with their time. They're still hitting numbers all year round.
Yeah.
Those are the ones placed in the top three in the pro shows. So there's a difference between top pros and all the rest of the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's a myth, and, you know, like I said, there's a lot of misinformation in there. And one of the things that I noticed is that you had enhanced coaches basically teaching non-drug using clients. And, you know, they're watching what they're doing, watching the results that they're getting, but they're not normal or natural. So when you're basically trying to break that dynamic of thinking, that's got to be rough in itself. I know Mike, as a gym owner, has a lot of fighting to do, and I'm sure you do as well. So, Mike, you want to speak on that, and then we'll go to Doc.
Well, I mean, that's pretty common. I mean, you'll see competitors not taking anything illegal, not taking banned substances, but they have a coach, and they're coaching them, not prepping them as if they're on, because that's the kind of clientele that you can do.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, then when a competitor gets a prep coach who's not, you know, based, and they're just, you know, following a banned substance list, and they're making sure they're not taking anything illegal, it's just a different change of pace.
I think that, and, you know, I think one thing that's also important, too, is oftentimes some of the best prep coaches are the ones who may not be, like, the genetically gifted one-year pro card in your early 20s, contending for world titles or under 30.
Some of the worst ones, actually.
Yeah, because everything just, you know, someone with that good of just genetics, you know, God-given gifts, you know, like, you don't have to, you know, not that you don't have to work hard, but you can get away with things.
Yeah, you know.
And so, like, from my good friend Cliff Wilson, who I think has been on your podcast before, you know, and, you know, the guy has some of the worst genetics, you know, bodybuilder. But because of that, he's one of the best prep coaches. You know, like, he prepped me for that for the last shows. I mean, you know, just having to struggle through that and figure it out himself has made him better at helping others.
And genetics, and he's the wisest person on the planet. But he's working he has a plan, he works it to his genetic potential.
But because of working through all that, he can, you know, like,
he found a way.
Yeah. So it isn't just like, oh, we'll just do this one approach. Oh, he's actually had, you know.
And so, you know,
I wouldn't say I have some stellar genetics in the world myself. I mean, and so I, you know, it took me, 10 years of training, dieting down 4 times, and I think it was my 7th show when I won a pro card.
Yeah, if you listeners aren't doing this already, make sure you follow Cliff Wilson and John Gorman on Facebook. Read the post every single day.
They got blogs.
And more positive answers.
and they trust the process. They've been through it themselves, and they've struggled along the way. And I noticed that a lot of people that do struggle more find new ways and new benefits for the people that they're speaking with because they already know that struggle.
Yeah. And I mean, it, you know, sometimes, you know, I always tell people, you know, you can't judge the, you know, someone's coaching ability on their physique. A lot of times you can probably say, I would say you could probably say more about if you look at the beginning to where they, you know, the struggle and the, you know, all of that probably may mean more than just where they end up.
Yeah. Now, when you're talking to somebody that's basically walked the walk and talked the talk and basically found that new way to do things, there's some baggage that the client is bringing. There's some baggage that their family is bringing. And a lot of people do not truly understand the bodybuilding process where, you know, you're doing this for you and to make a better you. So basically they see you losing weight, you're sick. You start to get some health concerns, and somebody else is going to add some information that can basically take you off the trail. And then there's that other person that basically says, all right, I got it all figured out. You don't need to pay all that money to this guy. Just go off my routine because this is what I did. I would maybe get this place at some rinky-dink sideshow. So, you know, how do you fight through that where you explain it to the person, it is a process, it is something that you have to do and you've got to sacrifice and dedicate without basically telling them it's too hard for you to do in the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you don't necessarily want to – I wouldn't say that I would tell someone it's too hard for them to do, but I think, if I'm working with a new competitor, you know, kind of like I said before, I try to make it very clear that competing is an extreme goal.
Yeah.
And the more extreme your goal is, the more effort, sacrifice is going to be required than if the goal is less extreme. And then as a competitor, oftentimes we make our goal more extreme by having a deadline, you know. So you have to get to your goal and you have to get there – in this many weeks, and you know the margin for error is far less in that case than, you know, if you were just dieting to somewhere that's sustainable, you know, maybe dropping 10 pounds to somewhere you can actually sustain getting there by summer.
Yeah,
you have more flexibility and leeway.
Yeah,
you know, but if you say, well, I have 20 weeks and I need to drop, you know, 15-20 pounds and get stage lean, You got some work to do, and your effort and sacrifice is going to be
important. Okay, now we have a list of questions from Karen, and she's saying, Karen, I'm going to paraphrase since I didn't memorize this. You said you won't see changes. Will she see the changes in a month's time where she would actually know that, you know, it's working, or if she's basically getting BS?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, when someone's dieting for a show, I have them look at, you know, we look at kind of three things when we're assessing progress. One is, what direction is the scale trending?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are natural and have been lifting for a while, the scale is going to have to go down during your prep.
Yes.
You know, you are not going to be able to lose 20 pounds of fat and just replace that with 20 pounds of muscle.
Yes.
That's not happening if you're naturally lifting for a while. Not naturally. And so the scale's got to go down. So, I mean, you know, looking at, all right, well, on average, like, we're looking at your weekly average weight. Is your weekly average over this month, you know, each week kind of stepping down? Are we losing at an appropriate rate, kind of your target rate?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing we pay attention to. That's kind of a more short-term thing. Something else to pay attention to then is strength in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone's, you know, you see the scale going down, you see that person's strength staying up and their workouts are still going well, that's a pretty good indication we're holding on to muscle,
mm-hmm,
while we're dropping body fat, because the scale's going down and it's not muscle that's being dieted away because strength is still high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the third thing I look at is pictures. And, you know, I think the key with pictures is, you know, like we talked about, change takes time. I would imagine in a month you see some change, but, you know, the longer period of time, you know, beginning of the month, end of month one, you may see some change, but by the end of month two, it would be even more. By the end of three, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, after 3 months, you look at the beginning versus end of 3 months, you probably see some really big change. And so kind of the combination of those three things is how I usually, you know, like to assess progress. But with pictures, one thing to be aware of is that you need to take them under the same conditions, same time of day, same lighting.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things can make them look completely different.
Yes. And one of the things I saw Bill had commented as well was he's asking, starving the stage. That's always a no-no for anyone, that's especially a coach. But then you have the one that's basically worried about the scale as to holding on to muscle.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you have people say, well, I've lost 10 pounds, but then you're looking at them and they look, you know, deficient.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you get to look at where someone's at, you know, and so, you know, it can work both ways. You have people who maybe they lose 10 pounds or then they think, oh, I need to lose more.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you look at them and you're like, nah, you're good. Like I've had clients before who they've dropped, you know, we've done a full prep, you know, 5-6 months, they've striated glutes, you know, we're peeled, we're good. And I think you're your own worst critic as a competitor.
Yes.
And I think that's where having a coach just for that other set of eyes, because it can be really hard to be objective with yourself when you're that lean. I mean, that's why I work with Lane three of my preps, this one, and a local trainer at my gym, the first one. I mean, I've never actually prepped myself.
Yeah.
You know, I've dieted out 5 times and never prepped myself. And so just because you need that, you know, outside set of eyes.
Yeah.
But you also have people on the other side where they are afraid for the scale to go too low, you know, and, you know, but they need to get leaner.
They hate it.
And so, you know, it's a matter of, you know, well, what's important? What do you want to get out of this?
What's
your goal?
Yeah,
what's your goal? You know, because a lot of times I'll get, you know, I get at things a lot of times by asking people questions. So what's your goal? You know, and they're usually like, I want to do as good as I can. All okay, in order to do as good as you can, you know, we need to, you know, make sure that you come in as lean as you need to be. And so that's where, you know, maybe we got to push for more loss yet, even though you don't want to, you know. And so, you know, and so the number on the scale doesn't matter when you get on stage. What matters is what you look like.
Yes.
And I think oftentimes people don't realize that when you get extremely lean, you oftentimes look a lot bigger on stage.
Yeah.
I've had clients as low as 135 pounds when overalls in bodybuilding.
Yeah, because they got the full muscle.
But it's full muscle build. You know, I had a 5'4", 135-pound client win an overall at a natural show.
Yeah.
You know,
because they should.
Yeah, because he was absolutely peeled and had full muscle bellies, really great symmetry, could pose well, you know. It's you know, about the full package.
Right,
and so
let's get a picture while we're doing this, yeah. Now, one of the things that most people forget. Now, come on in, man. Go get that picture. Go get that picture. Yeah, we're getting the podcast on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not falling. Thank you. And one of the things that people are always talking about is cutting water, dropping sodium during the peak week to get that extra look or extra benefit. And like you were saying during one of the videos and on a previous podcast, is about the overall health of the competitor. I mean, that's got to be a big factor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're inevitably going to have to sacrifice things health-wise probably to compete. You know, hormone levels are going to tank when you're that lean. That's why you don't stay that lean.
Yes.
You know, if you're female, you may lose your menstrual cycle. That kind of depends on the person. But if you do, that's where you have an off-season, you gain fat back, and you have a normal cycle most of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, this is
a conversation you're supposed to have with the women.
Yes. These are conversations I have.
How uncomfortable it's supposed to be, you have to have this conversation.
We have the conversation, you know, hey, you've gained maybe 10 or 15 pounds back. I know you want to sit here. You don't have a normal cycle yet. Things aren't normal.
Yes.
You need to actually eat more food and gain more weight yet because we care about health. Like, you want to be able to do this down the road. You know, we don't want this to wreck you, you know. And so,
that's family, friends, and everybody still be around you and live.
Yeah.
You're not plotting their death if you're hungry.
Yeah. And so, getting back to, you know, peak week, you definitely want to keep drinking water and want to keep eating sodium. You know, if you look at what's going to make a muscle look full and make you look filled out on stage, it's a combination of carbohydrates, water, and sodium.
Yeah.
You want all three of those things. You know, if you don't drink water, you will actually look flat and you will look worse. If you don't eat sodium, same thing. If you don't eat carbs, same thing. And
let's cover the health side of that, because that's frightening in itself is what you're saying. And I'm sure when you hear something like that, it's got to be frightening. But then when you think about the health concerns that you're going to have to deal with down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how, you know, it depends on, I guess, what you're doing, you know, as far as health concerns down the road. But acute health concerns, I mean, there are people, you see it all the time, people who haven't drank water since, like, Wednesday or Thursday, since, like, Saturday at the show, you know. And
we get the cramps.
They get cramps, and you know, there's so little water in them, they can't even, like, provide the urine sample when they come off stage, you know, and need to do it.
20 minutes, half an hour, three hours,
yeah. You know, they take forever to, you know, they got to drink a bunch of water. And I mean, I've had clients backstage at shows where they were backstage drinking water, and you know, I had a client get asked once, you know, or got told once by another competitor, oh, I wish I could have electrolytes. If he was drinking Gatorade with salt in it. He was asked by another guy, oh, I wish I could have electrolytes. He goes, here, have this. And the guy's like, no. And my client beat the guy, you know, because he hadn't had – his coach told him not to have water, not to have salt.
And can't do it.
Yeah. And so,
can't do it. I like to come out.
I mean, it's just – you're not going to look as good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times you hear people then will say, well, but so-and-so cut water and they look good. Well, could they have looked better if they did? You know, like, you know, maybe they looked good, maybe they won, but – could they look better if they did, you know?
That's what you talk about. I've seen where genetics has basically survived them through a show and a pro.
Rather
than how they should have looked and been three times better. So, you know, all right, you got away with one. But, see, you know,
when you get to the pro level, though, you know, you're
going
to have guys with those type of genetics who actually are putting in the work. And then
– and the bad.
Yeah, and then when you put in, you know, and when you're doing – you get to, like, world, that's what you're going to run into.
Yeah. it's 12 deep.
Yeah.
And all of them look like they should win. And so then, you know, I tell people, and I said it, and I've offended a couple of people by saying this, but I meant no intent of harm. It's not for everyone.
No.
And that's what you're talking about when you talk about somebody just wants to be fit and fabulous.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
I got to go. Sorry, guys.
Mike's checking out on it. The Hall of Famer's checking out. All right, we still got the doctor in the house.
Yeah. Now,
when we're talking about these things and people are wondering, how do you keep them off the cliffs? How do you keep them interested? Because some people do have a true intent, but when they see the process, they might be a little dismayed.
Yeah.
And you can see it either, you know, what basically keeps you wanting to stay a coach and basically starting to tell them, well, maybe the same for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think what makes me want to stay a coach is the fact that, you know, it is really rewarding to see someone get into the sport, not know anything about it, have a lot of preconceived notions that are incorrect, help them be successful, and then see, you know, maybe they don't work with me for a couple of years, but you run into them at a show a couple of years later, or maybe they reach back out to you a couple of years later for another prep. And they're still doing it. They're still living the lifestyle.
That's
their
point.
Their approach is actually sustainable. Like, they actually are, you know, it's a lifestyle rather than just some extreme thing they're doing for, like, 12 weeks or something.
Yeah.
So that's really awesome. But as far as, you know, helping people through prep, it, you know, I think there's a number of different ways. And so, you know, I think a few things that can take some of the stress off. It, you know, one thing, if a client can do it, is not having a set show date. Not having a set show date from the start, because, you know, if a lot of, sometimes for some people, it's like, if that date's there, it's looming, you know, so just treating it as, all right, we're shooting for body fat every week. We're going to take the same approach as if you had a show date.
Mm-hmm.
We're shooting for this much loss on average a week. If we don't see it, we're going to keep pushing, and you need to be consistent. But we have a little more flexibility. So we'll, once you are ready, we'll pick a show and you'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that can take a little bit, you know, a little bit off. And then also, you know, like diet breaks, things like that along the way can be really, really beneficial. You know, where maybe, all right, well, you're, you know, it's getting hard. You know, your prep's got to be long. Maybe you have a lot of weight to lose. You know, I've worked with clients where they've had a lot of weight to lose, and maybe, you know, it takes 8-9 months. You know, if it's a female, maybe slower metabolism, a lot of weight to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it takes 8-9 months to get them there. And so, you know, that's a long time to stay in a deficit and stay consistent. So, you know, implementing diet breaks along the way, where maybe it's a week where, hey, let's just eat around maintenance all week, or eat around your high carb day macros for a week. And yeah, maybe your weight drifts up a little bit from water glycogen.
Yeah.
I doubt you gain much true weight, but you know, let's just maintain for the, you know, you're still, it's not a complete break from dieting. Like, you're still, like, for a week here, let's just get you out of deficit. You know, you feel a little better by the end, a little less restricted to the week.
I don't want to kill you.
Yeah, and then let's drop back in one, you know, and then just kind of break up, especially for these really, really long preps, which, you know, a lot of people, you know, need to, you know, if they have a lot to lose, or, you know, just for the level of conditioning you got to get to in the sport these days.
Well, now, one question I would be remiss not to ask is, okay, now, like you said, it's an extreme thing to be. You really have that mental factor of dedicated diet, sacrifice, you're going to do all of it. And then the show happens, and it's done. Now what?
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a place where a lot of people make a mistake, because they don't have a plan for the now what, you know. And so I think that's where you need to have some sort of plan of what you're going to do after the show. And so, you know, the thing you don't want to do after the show, the worst thing you can do is binge for about a week or two, gain all of the weight back, and then decide you're going to diet again right away because you gained too much back.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst thing you can possibly do, because hormone levels, metabolic rate have not rebounded in 2 weeks. You're not, if you go back into a deficit, loss is probably going to be difficult. You're probably going to just drive hormone levels lower. I mean, it takes time for things to recover after the show. You know, and so I don't like clients going into deficit at least 3-4 months, preferably 6 or more months, you know, after a show.
Like, yeah.
Stay out of a calorie deficit. You need to gain weight back after a show. So that's the other mistake. People don't gain weight back, you know, and so you need to gain weight back. So it's about finding that middle ground where you're gaining weight back, but in a controlled way, you know, and it's going to, your diet's going to loosen up a little. You're going to gain some weight back.
Yes.
You should gain weight back, but it shouldn't be an all-out binge. And there's actually some data out there now. Came out last year where they looked at a group of natural bodybuilders of what they did after a show. And they found that those who, well, first off, they found that, you know, most of the weight that they gained, like, initially the show is, like, water glycogen, things like that. But then, you know, for the initial days. But then between those initial days and 3 months later, it was over 90% of the weight they gained was fat. That's okay.
Oh, wow.
It's okay, though, because you need to gain fat back. You can't stay stage lean.
Yeah.
But for people who are thinking they're going to, like, gain a bunch of muscle as a result of gaining weight back as fast as possible, that's not happening. You're just gaining fat.
Yeah,
and so, as a natural, anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, they also found in that study that people who, that when you're looking at, like, hormone levels, you know, rebounding, people who gained weight the fastest and the people who gained weight the slowest didn't have as good a hormone rebound. They didn't come back as quickly as those who just kind of gained in the middle, you know, and so, like, they were gaining weight, absolutely, but it was not binging, and it was, you know, not no gain. You know, that middle ground seems to be the best for.
And there's that balance that you keep referring to and bringing up. And so basically, people, you know, you're hearing from someone who knows. Now, you're going to argue with people who don't know because they want to make this misinformation, but it's actual truth. So if he's speaking against somebody you're teaching or being taught by, then I question the person that, you know, doesn't have the background or expertise. because they haven't put in the mental preparation for the prep that he's always talking about. If you're not prepared to answer questions, then don't answer because you don't know. And we're getting information from someone who does. So thanks so much, Doc.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate you being on the show. Great time, great listening questions. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them because I can't follow them and keep this phone line. So thanks so much, everybody. Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, Doctor in the House, Mike Hall of Famer. We are out.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.